Okay, thanks everybody. We're going to start with our next presentation. We've got Banc of California, headquartered in Irvine, California. Bank just recently passed the $6 billion threshold in total assets. They do operate a traditional commercial and consumer franchise, along with a pretty robust mortgage origination business. We'll welcome Ron Nicolas, the Chief Financial Officer of Banc of California. Ron?
Thanks, Gary, good afternoon, everyone. I'll try to be as pithy as possible, recognizing that everyone just got out of lunch and is probably a little bit sleepy. We'll dive right into it. As Gary mentioned, this past fourth quarter, December 31st, we passed $6 billion in terms of our total asset size with the recent acquisition of the Banco Popular branch franchise in Southern California. That gives us today almost 40 branches in total, along with 100 banking locations. Many of those banking locations are loan production offices, primarily for residential mortgage as well. Eighth independent largest California bank, and 15th largest deposit franchise in Southern California, in Los Angeles. We have three different public offerings out today. We've got our common equity traded on the NYSE as BANC. We have a preferred offering, or two different preferreds, a PRC and a PRD. Those are non-cumulative perpetual preferreds, and senior debt as well, traded on the NYSE as BOCA. With Steve Sugarman's arrival with Banc of California back as CEO in the summer of 2012, Steve, from day one, made it clear that he wanted to grow the bank. He felt that scale was critical to success. He talked about reaching that $5 billion asset size. You see, we embarked on a pretty robust, if not aggressive, acquisition with seven different acquisitions, three different banks, and other businesses that opportunistically gave us product breadth and offerings. In addition, we had 10 different capital raises to support that aggressive growth. As you can see today, again, we're at $6 billion. We have a pretty robust offering in terms of our product and our platform. In addition to some of the traditional banking activities, retail banking, private banking, we've got financial institutions banking. That's both on the lending side with SBLOC securities lending, as well as insurance lending. They also take in deposits, do sweeps, working with broker-dealers, as well as EB-5 deposits. That business is one that's still in its embryonic stage, and we are looking forward to that business growing this year and start contributing in a significant way. In addition, we have some additional specialty lending units. We have a commercial finance organization that focuses primarily on equipment leasing. It offers what we think is a very attractive economic return. Yields can be north of 7% in that business, prudently underwritten, nationally originated. In addition to that, we have a growing SBA presence. We were able to do a couple of team lift-outs in a couple of key areas, one being the SBA, and that business is starting to hit its stride as well. Some of these businesses, because of the return profiles in the CRE, in some of the SBAs, we do sell in the secondary marketing as well as our jumbo business, so as not to impinge upon the origination capability of the company. We continue to let the originators bring the product in. If it meets our return profiles, it goes to the balance sheet. If it doesn't, than we would otherwise look to sell it in the secondary market. This past first quarter, we sold three different types of asset classes. We sold some commercial real estate assets. We sold some jumbo loans. And we sold SBA loans in addition to our normal mortgage banking activities. So in the first quarter, this is the first quarter I think we didn't otherwise acquire, divest, or raise anything. So it was our first real clean quarter, as I like to say, without a whole lot of noise. And the earnings power of the franchise started to come through very, very nicely. Almost $100 million in total revenues, pretty much evenly split between the non-interest and the net interest income, which is our goal to continue that. We were up significantly on a quarter linked basis. BPOP contributed significantly to that. That's been a terrific acquisition so far. It's fully integrated with all of our systems and all of our back office processes. Operating expense, we're a little bit higher than we anticipated, but that was largely as a result of about $4 million of additional mortgage origination loan volume expenses. Our mortgage bank was pretty robust this first quarter, a little bit unanticipated from our perspective, but the greater industry also benefited. We did almost over $1 billion of originations. I think our plan had called internally for about $800 million. That was obviously fueled by the drop in the 10-year and the refi that took off. Normally, we're a 60-40 purchase to refi mortgage banking operation, and this past quarter we were a 45-55. So that ratio inverted. Well, we're going to start to move back here in the second quarter to a more normalized 60-40 or 50-50 probably here in the second quarter as the purchase season starts to take off. More importantly, we're moving our scale is starting to take hold as our efficiency ratio improved to 77%. 77% is by no stretch a target or a goal. We want to do a heck of a lot better than that. We've talked about hitting 70% by year end. We're well on our way to doing that. Our business will never look with the mortgage banking business, which today is probably about 40% of our revenue stream. It'll never look like a traditional bank in the 50s or 60% efficiency ratio because that business is traditionally more of a 70-75% business. But nonetheless, if we achieve the 70%, that means our bank will be in the mid-50s. Our commercial bank, as we look at it internally. We already talked about assets. Deposits are our primary focus. Deposits will lead our loan growth. We were up almost $200 million, very good showing on our non-interest-bearing deposits. And, of course, with a pretty nice income quarter, our tangible book increased as well. And as I mentioned, we raised $290 million just after the quarter in early April, $175 million of new debt at 5.25%, and an additional $115 million in preferred. That $290 million positions us very well for near-term growth organically over the next couple of years here as we look forward to continue to grow. Just very quickly here, net interest income and net interest margin remain very, very strong for the quarter. Asset yields are holding. We were able to continue to drive down the cost of deposits. We've got a stated goal of less than 50 basis points for our cost of deposits. We're well on the way of achieving that and maintaining at the financial institution the bank goal of 3.75% to 4%. There is pressure on the asset side. But with our mix of business, we're pretty confident we'll be able to maintain our yields that we've achieved so far. Non-interest income, again, very important to us. Obviously, you can see the impact of the first quarter, the refi boomlet, if you will, had on the mortgage banking operation climbing into almost $38 million from $25 million. In addition to that, you see the next bar just above that, the next section, $4.5 million in non-agency loan sales. Again, that's the jumbo, the SBA, the CRE. We'll continue to have those sales each and every quarter as we sell newly originated assets that don't meet the investment criteria for our balance sheet. So that remains a very important part of the business model. Operating expense, notwithstanding the volume increases that you see here, almost $18 million with the higher mortgage originations, the base expense remained relatively flat. I think that's important for a company like ours, which is, you know, I know a lot of folks have had a hard time getting a handle on the operating expense. We're not going to see the same growth on the asset side. We're certainly not going to see the same growth on the staff side. For the most part, the infrastructure, the back office, is where it needs to be in terms of the number of people that we've got, and that should add stability to that overall base operating expense. The loan portfolio, our heritage is more of a residential bank, an OTS former financial institution. You can see today we're just north of 50% commercial business. There's a keen focus on growing our commercial assets. We will originate over $6 billion this year. We did $1.5 billion here in the first quarter. Roughly $1.3 billion of that is our mortgage-based. That's our jumbo and our agency. But we'll do almost $1 billion or over $1 billion of commercial loans this year. We were a little bit flattish in this first quarter. First quarter is typically a little slower on the commercial side of the business, but we do see our pipeline picking up, and we do expect continued growth in our commercial originations, further diversifying our loan portfolio on balance sheet. On the deposit side, we continue to de-emphasize the CDs. We picked up a block of CDs with the BPOP acquisition. We're continuing to manage that out as it matures and focus in on the non-interest bearing customer relationship deposits. So we look to at our multiple products with our customers, both on the lending side as well as on the deposit side. Our target customers are the small business entrepreneur in Southern California. We want to do their business banking for them, provide them capital to grow their business. We want to do their personal banking, have their deposits with us. We want to do their mortgage. They typically are jumbo buyers. They don't have W-2s. Their tax returns, so they're a little off the beaten path. We try to umbrella that entire financial need for those people. And as I mentioned, you know, driving down the cost of this is a primary focus for us this year. Capital, we're very strong on the capital front, both from a regulatory standpoint and overall. As I mentioned, we've got growth capital. You see we've highlighted here the pro forma capital ratios with the additional $290 million we just added. Steve, I think, stated, Steve Sugarman, our CEO, stated on numerous occasions our financial targets for the company. You know, they're highlighted here in addition to the net interest income and the efficiency ratios that I've talked about. You know, the 1% return on average assets and a 15% return on average tangible common equity. We're well on our way to achieving those with the first quarter results. So when you step back and you look at the entirety of the picture, you know, today we trade at roughly 11 times earnings, well below our West Coast peers. Why is that? Well, we've been a very much a growth-oriented bank to date over the last couple, 3 years. That has created a lot of confusion around the quarters. We've had a lot of acquisitions, capital raises. We've done some divestitures. So there's been a lot of noise in our numbers. I think with this first quarter, you started to see that start to change. The quarter was a clean quarter. You can now start to get a handle on the investment opportunity. We think we're very attractive given the earnings power of the company. We're very attractive at where we trade today at 11 times earnings, as I mentioned. We have a very diversified balance sheet. We have a very strong loan origination capability. We're focused on the on our customer base, and we're focused on leveraging the operating efficiencies of the company. So with that, I'll open it up to questions. Yes, Gary. Sure. You know, again, we've done seven acquisitions over the past 2 years, you know, the acquisitions have created great opportunities now that they've settled in. I would tell you that, you know, absent another Banco Popular opportunity, acquisitions are really on the back burner. They're not at the foremost of our minds. We now feel we've built between the acquisitions that we've done, as well as the team liftouts that we've been able to acquire. Many of those businesses are now just going to start to hit their stride. So we think that the organic loan capability, growth capability, as well as the deposit capability, really, really positions us well. That acquisitions aren't necessarily what where we're at right now. So we see strong growth. We're still a growth story, but it'll be much more on the organic side as these businesses hit their stride this year and next. Sure. We think it's a great opportunity. We did acquire $1.1 billion in both loans and deposits. The acquisition came over on a matched book basis, which was really attractive to us. We ended up getting a fantastic price on it. We have a loss share agreement on the credits. So we're very, very pleased with certainly the financial and economic opportunity that acquisition has provided us. From a marketing standpoint and the ability to penetrate that customer base, we're in Southern California. One of the fastest growing, or the fastest growing market, is the Latino ethnic market. We feel as though now we're very well positioned to further advance into that market and take advantage of this. We think that there is ample opportunity to continue to grow the business. The $1.1 billion we acquired on the loan side, 80% of those were commercial-based loans. We think that it has opened up the market. We brought over some of the sales teams and some of the portfolio managers associated with that. So that's going to further give us penetration into those markets. We may do a trimming, a little bit of pruning here and there on that opportunity. But we think certainly on the lending side, ample opportunity to grow that business. On the deposit side, it's going to be an opportunity for us. But you know, there's quite a bit of a cash-based trade with respect to the Banco Popular between Mexico and of course Southern California. So it's a little less robust, if you will. But we do think that still we'll have an ample opportunity to grow our deposit base, and further as being, you know, California's bank or Southern California's bank. So that was a very important target market for us. The company hired former mayor of L.A., Antonio Villagrosa, a couple of years ago, and that was one of the things that he set out to help us with, his penetration in the Latino ethnic market, and so far it's paid big dividends for us, and we anticipate to continue to pay dividends.
Was there an embedded money transfer product business in the
business? Not a money transfer business, but there's still a lot of ties and a lot of activity that tends. So we've had to enhance our BSA activities and compliance, which we've done. We left behind probably about $20 million of deposits that were deemed to be high risk, and we continue to monitor it very closely, but that's still a very, very good market for us. Yes. Yeah. The strategy, we've got, basically we've got two different pieces of debt. We have about $80 million, or just over $70 million, excuse me, in SBLF for two different issuances that will reprice in the first quarter of 2016. So this gives us liquidity to be able to take those out at a much more attractive rate on the margin. And then in addition, we've got about an $85 million senior offering from 2012, which is at 7.5%. It gives us some optionality to the extent that we want to pay that off as well. In addition, you know, given our robust origination capabilities, we felt that it was necessary to add capital today as we begin to execute our three-year strategic plan for 15, 16, and 17, which shows, you know, very strong organic growth. And this was a very effective 5.25, 10-year bullet money that we was really very attractive from our vantage point. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And Gary, thank you.